Thank you, Emily. Twos and threes.
Fives. You can be dismissed if you would, please. One prayer request I forgot to mention. Tomorrow at 2, Allison is going to have a procedure where they're going to try to stretch her Achilles a little bit and then cast it, try to hold it in place for a week and then do that again. And they call it serial casting. I said, it sounds like serial murder, the pain you may be in. So tomorrow at 2, please pray for her. I know she would appreciate that so very much. I told you this morning I want to speak to you tonight about my actions are right, but my attitude stinks. You ever done something and you did it because it was right to do, but boy, you flat out didn't want to do it, you know? And kind of, it's like the little boy who his daddy told him to stand up and he was scared of his daddy, so he stood up and said, I'm standing up on the inside, on the outside, but on the inside, I'm sitting down. That would be right actions with a stinky attitude, right? There's a lot of times that we go through the actions, if you will. We do right because we don't want people to see us or whatever, but really, we just got a raunchy attitude, you know? And if you think about it in the Word of God, we would... A group that would be characteristic of that a lot, we would go immediate to the Pharisees, right? I mean, those guys, and the truth is, they had some wonderful outward activity. Jesus said on a number of occasions, hey, they shouldn't have omitted these things. They should be doing some of these things, but they forgot some of the weightier things, didn't they? He said, inside they're full of dead men's bones, and so forth. And sometimes we get the attitude that, okay, as long as I'm right on the outside, I'm okay. Well, that's not true. But there's also a movement today that says, well, as long as the attitude's right, what I do really doesn't matter. So in other words, if I'm sincere, if I'm genuine, then what I do really doesn't matter. What really matters is my heart attitude. Okay. So in other words, it's okay for me to murder you as long as I love you in the process. I mean, that would be crazy, right? I would think you would think that was crazy. Now listen, brother, I want you to know, I really do like you. This is not personal, and I'm going to try to do this as less painful as I possibly can, and it's really going to hurt me, but I'm going to have to cut your throat. I mean, yes, you know, we would say, well, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Well, of course it is, okay? What does the Lord Jesus want for us? Well, I think it's clear from Scripture that He wants us to have right actions with a right attitude. That's a great combination. And we struggle with that. Sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we do what we're supposed to do, but we do it with a really bad attitude, you know? Well, I'm in church this morning or this evening, but it's not because I really want to be here. It's because I have to be here. You know, somebody might ask me where I was. Somebody might make me fill out a form. College students. Whatever, okay? Now, I want us to go to the Old Testament and look at a story and learn some truths about this that may be, well, let me say it this way, it's convicting for me, okay? Let's go to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Now, let's kind of lay the background a little bit, okay? Jonah, in the beginning of the book, God tells him, go preach to Nineveh, right? Go cry against that city. What does Jonah do? I don't think so. I'm not doing that. Forget it. I'm headed the opposite direction. I'm going to buy a ticket, and I'm going to go down to Joppa, and I'm going to go down into the bottom, and I'm going to go to sleep. And I really don't care about the rest of you. I don't care what God told me. I don't care about you as a ship. I don't care. Just don't care. So he goes to sleep. You know the story. They get in this massive storm. The men of that ship go to him and say, you need to pray. And they finally cast lots. The lot falls on Jonah. And Jonah says, just throw me overboard. I don't care. By the way, multiple times in this book, Jonah wants God to kill him. Don't you love it? That he tries and he can't die. I mean, who would have thought you get thrown in an ocean, you're going to survive? I mean, can you believe it? Jonah must have thought, I can't do anything right. I can't even die right. Here I am thrown into the ocean, and I'm in the whale's belly. What's wrong with me, you know? I can't even die down here. It took Jonah 3 days in the whale's belly for him to start praying. Okay, Lord. Okay. All right. You know, crazy. Matter of fact, the men of this ship seems to have more character and more care about individuals than does Jonah. Amazing. Okay. Jonah finally gets his heart right. I guess he figured, okay, God's not going to let me die. And I'm either going to live in this belly for quite some time, or I can just give up. So he gives up. All right, God, great. I'll go do what you told me to do. But chapter 4 reveals to us that he had a stinking attitude while he did it. Did he now obey God? Yes, he obeyed God. He preached a very, very brief message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, I don't know if that's all that was in his message. He probably didn't feel like in a great mood to preach. Some Bible scholars have said he was a great illustration. He was probably bleached white and looked like a sight, you know. Everybody's like, paying attention to that guy. Who is he, you know? Oh, he's the guy that, you know, kind of got upchucked on the beach there. You know, that's that guy. Oh, I see. I mean, you know, it would have been like, whoo, okay. He preaches what God tells him to preach, and there's a great revival. I mean, the whole city, all the way up to the king, repents in sackcloth and ashes. And then chapter 4 opens, and we get what Jonah's heart attitude was. His actions were right because he didn't want to go back to the belly of the whale. But his attitude stunk. So let's look at some things tonight. And I want us to see this. You must have good actions and attitudes to be pleasing to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and help us to learn some truths that will convict us, yes, and help us to be different than we were when we came in here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want us to see tonight 6 different things that we can learn about Jonah from this passage of Scripture. Number 1, the Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 1, but it, that is verse 10 of chapter 3, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So they repented, God withheld his judgment. That's the it that Jonah's talking about. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Okay, so a preacher preaches, people repent at his preaching, and he gets ticked off about it. That'll tell you what kind of attitude he has. So number 1, don't care about others' spiritual condition. If you want to have a raunchy attitude, just don't care about other people's spiritual condition. And Jonah, he didn't care. I don't care about these people. I don't care if they get right with God. Matter of fact, I don't want them to get right with God. I'm convinced he wanted them to die. And there's been all kinds of conjecture about why Jonah felt that way. It really doesn't matter why he felt that way. It was wrong for him to feel that way. Look at chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. And we'll get to this illustration in just a minute. It says, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand or their left hand, and also much cattle? 120,000 children who can't discern left or right hand. Now, you could argue about what age that is, or you could be like Miss Swearingen. She still doesn't know her left or right hand. I know that's bad, Miss Swearingen. But 120,000. So how big was this city? Huge. And God said, Jonah, do you see what you're doing? You would rather me wipe out 120,000 children? And don't forget about all the animals and everything that's there as well. Jonah didn't care. So if you want to have an attitude that stinks, don't care about others' spiritual conditions. And God tells us not only for the lost that are in the world that we should care about them. God commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 that even the spiritual conditions of our brothers and sisters we're to care about. or to be concerned about people. Just don't care about them if you want to have a stinking attitude. Number two, we saw this in verse 1. It says, and he was very angry. Look at verse 4. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? God's asking, what are you mad about? Look at verse 9. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. I'll tell you how mad I am, God. I'm mad enough to die. That's about the third or fourth time he said that in this book. Number two, be quick to anger. Be quick to anger. Do you know what I have found? I've found that people that are having the gnawing of the Holy Spirit on them get really agitated really, really quick. And sometimes I look and say, what are you so mad about? What do you mean, what am I so mad about? I'm just wondering. I just ask you a question, how come you're so mad? And it's like, it's screaming that something's guilty there. Why was John? He was mad because they listened to his preaching. And you want to know how ridiculous it gets? He gets mad enough to die over a gourd. Over a plant? I mean, I like plants in my yard, but come on. I've never lost a plant that I thought, oh, I just might as well die. My plant died. Sorry. I mean, I like them, but not quite that much, you know? You see how ridiculous he is. It's like, you're not even thinking right. Be quick to get angry. Number three, look at verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, he's in a real good position to be praying, isn't he? He's displeased exceedingly, and he's very angry. Now he's going to pray. Okay. I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Number three, accuse God. In this case, he accused God of positive character qualities. God, you're merciful and you're compassionate. And you're slow to anger. And you let people repent. It's like, really? Yeah, that's a pretty good description of our God, but why are you mad about that? What makes you so angry about those things? Aren't those good things about our God? Absolutely. The fact is, Jonah had a raunchy attitude. And when we have that, we just start accusing it. We even point a finger at God. Who do we think we are pointing a finger at God? The God of the universe. Who do we think we are? That we would shake our fist in the face of an almighty God and say anything to him of disrespectful nature, let alone to chide him for his positive characteristics. Amazing. The accusation that he makes against God. Number four. And boy, can you see this throughout the book. Be selfish. You want just a stinking attitude. Just be selfish. Look at verse 8. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And we've already seen that in verse 3. All the way even back in chapter 1. Jonah didn't care about the people of that ship. They're feverishly working to try to spare the ship. They're throwing over stuff on the ship that they probably had to pay for. Somebody had to pay for the cargo. Jonah didn't care. It didn't bother him a bit. He says, just throw me overboard. And the men go, you know, we'd really like to save your life. He didn't even care about saving his life. What a selfish attitude he had. Jonah was only concerned about Jonah. What Jonah wanted and nobody else. And it didn't matter, get this, it didn't matter if people went to hell, he was going to maintain his selfishness. Wow. How selfish are you? Are you more concerned about how you would look to someone than handing them a gospel tract? then your selfishness is no better than Jonah's. I don't know that guy, you know. I mean, he might think bad of me. Really? You know, the truth is, we concentrate on this old person a lot too, don't we? We're so concerned about us. Jonah didn't look outward at all. And even when we get to the story of the gourd, he's just consumed with himself, as if he had a right to have a gourd that God brought up. He was sitting outside the city camping. I'm going to see if God will just go ahead and wipe it out. That's what he was doing. He was camped outside the city. I'd love to see God just wipe it out, and I'm just going to wait here until he does. Selfish. Selfish. Number five. And this one really takes the cake for me. Care about things that don't matter more than things that do matter. Listen to the story unfolding here. Verse 4, then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Just hoping that maybe God's not as merciful and gracious as I think he is. I'm just going to sit here. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. What grief? It's selfish grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. To get an idea that Jonah's emotions are kind of up and down, you know? One day he's exceeding angry. The next day he's exceeding glad. He's exceeding glad over a gourd. Amazing. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day. So now he's into his second day of camping out, waiting for judgment to fall. And it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die. He's gone from exceeding glad to death again. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. So Jonah, what you're telling me, God's asking him some questions. So Jonah, what you're telling me is you are more concerned about a piece of vegetation that's lifespan was about 24 hours. And you're more concerned about that than the hundreds of thousands of people in Nineveh that would have died and gone to hell. That's what you're telling me, Jonah? What an indictment. What an indictment. And you know, we're goofed up sometimes, aren't we? I remember a couple of years ago, people in Salt Lake City, I remember this story distinctly, blew up a McDonald's, killed a bunch of people in McDonald's because McDonald's was serving beef, and that was unfair to the cows. So you're going to kill people to save cows. You see how we're kind of goofed up, aren't we? And this whole process. By the way, just in case you're wondering, God doesn't want to just slaughter animals for no reason either, does he? He says so in this passage. There's much cattle here. I don't want to just go in and slaughter the cattle either. If I fall fire on this city, it's gone. Everything in there is gone. Jonah doesn't care about those things. He's concerned about his gourd. Yes, this is important. This is what I'm going to campaign over. Sometimes we get off track of what's really important, you know? And I'm grateful that I can preach this tonight and not have any fear that this is a problem at Emmanuel, but I've known some churches to argue about the color of the paint, and they don't even care about souls. I've known some churches that spend more money in carpeting and pews and paint and so forth and don't even have a track rack. Hey, when we get to that point, we got our priorities out of line. We're messed up. And can I tell you, as we use these buildings, guess what? We bring in young people on the bus, there's going to be dirty handprints down the wall. And there's going to be things that we don't particularly care for in the restroom. There's going to be lights left on. And some little kid's going to lock the bathroom stall and climb out underneath it. It's going to happen. And those things are frustrating, yes, but can I tell you something? When we start being more concerned about those things than we are about those eternal souls, we've missed the boat. We missed it. Jonah cared about things that didn't matter more than things that did matter. Lastly, the Bible says that Jonah only thought about the physical. Jonah was only concerned about what brought him satisfaction. And particularly in chapter 4, verses 3 and verses 8, death was what would bring him satisfaction. He didn't care about the people around him. I don't know if he had family members. I don't know if he had friends or whatever. None of that mattered. All I care about is get me out of this mess. Just all I care is about the physical. If I'm dead, I don't have to worry about the physical anymore. What a horrible way to view life. To just not care at all. So much so that we can get to a point where we would rather die than live. And Jonah was at that point. So do you see how from this book, and though we did not preach the whole book, do you see how Jonah got his actions right, but his attitude still stunk? I mean, yes, he walked into the city and physically did what God told him to do, preach to the people of Nineveh. And he did it. But he had a stinking attitude when he did it. And he was really hoping. And I'm going to say the words out of my mouth, but I could really care less if they listen to me. Matter of fact, I really hope they don't, because I'd rather God wipe them out. Generally speaking in this room, I'm not saying you're perfect. I know that, because I'm not perfect, okay? But generally speaking, our actions are going to be okay. Generally speaking, we're going to do what's right. But how's your attitude? Why do you do what you do? Why are you here tonight? Why do you plan to be here on Wednesday night? Why do you plan to come on visitation on Wednesday afternoon or Saturday or Sunday afternoon? Well, why do you come to Sunday school? Why do you work the job you work? And why do you treat other people the way you do? What's the motive behind those things? How's your attitude? A number of years ago, we had a family in our home, and as we observed them for a number of days, we were amazed at the attitude, particularly of their children. And it wasn't that their children were perfect. They did have to discipline them some, but overall throughout the week, we were just really shocked at how well-behaved their children were. And so the final night they were in our home, I said, okay, I want to know what you're doing right. It's pretty obvious to us that you're doing something right. He made a statement to me that totally changed the way I disciplined in my home. And he said this, 90% of my discipline, I discipline for attitude and not actions. He said, if you discipline for actions only, that's all you discipline for, he said, you're going to raise a bunch of hypocrites. He said, but when you get to the heart attitude behind the action, that's what you deal with. And I said, can you give me a couple examples in my home? That can be nerve-wracking, you know. But he did. He gave me some. And I'm grateful that he did. He said, well, right here, you're letting this child do this. That's an attitude problem. That's an action, yes, that's wrong, but it's really an attitude problem. One of my children, we always gave the excuse they were shy. And so when someone would speak to them, we would say, well, this is our shy child. He said, you're making excuses for a bad attitude. Kids can learn to speak to people, even if they are shy. I know some of you are going, one of your kids? I can't think of who that is. Well, that's because they started getting whoopings for it. That's why, okay? I don't really have very many shy children right now, but that was a change in our home. And can I tell you, in our own lives, would you look more at your attitude than your actions? Now, don't walk out of here tonight and go, as long as I have a good attitude, I can do whatever I want. No. Got to have the actions need to be right too. But the attitude behind it is very, very important. Don't be a Jonah. And you'd say, well, I could never be that bad. Okay, be careful. Be careful before you jump down that path when you realize, am I really selfish? Am I more concerned about my agenda than I am God's agenda in a daytime? Or whatever it may be. So let's review real quick and then we'll be done. Don't care about others' spiritual condition. We have people all around us that need Christ and Christians that need encouragement. Be quick to anger. Always have to ask yourself, when my fuse is lit quick, what's wrong? What's wrong? Do I have something there that I need to deal with? Don't accuse God. Even if it's positive, God, I can't believe you did that. Don't be selfish. Don't care about the things that really don't matter. There are things that it really doesn't matter. And don't think about just the physical. There's a spiritual world out there. And God tells us that we're to strive for that, not just those temporal things. So you must have good actions and good attitudes. So how's your attitude? Let's pray together. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I've studied Jonah a number of times, and it was just in the last few weeks that I thought, I never really saw this that way. Well, Jonah got his actions right, and we think, well, praise the Lord, Jonah did what God said. Bad attitude. By the way, I think Jonah did get right, and that's why he wrote the book. That's just an opinion. Where's your attitude tonight? Do you need to just come and say, okay, God, I've been doing X and X and X and X, but boy, I got a raunchy attitude about it. How many of you would say, God has specifically convicted my heart tonight about an attitude that I've had. Would you pray with me that I would get that right? God has specifically dealt with my heart about an attitude. Would you slip up your hand? Specifically dealt with my heart about an attitude that I need to get right. Good. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Good. I want to ask you, would you come? You know, the people of Nineveh, when they got right with God, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. From the king on down, everyone knew that they repented before God. I want to challenge you to do the same. Father, thank you for these hands. And Lord, you know the hearts that are connected to them, the attitude that's there. Lord, help us to not be like a Jonah who obeyed in actions but had a bad attitude. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.